For from Israel was it also. The workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. They have sown the wind. They shall reap the tornado. That's what a whirlwind is. How do they sow the wind? Yeah. You've heard the phrase, oh, you're full of hot air. That's sowing the wind. What? Every wind of doctrine Paul mentions. They have sown the wind, telling lies about God and His ways. They shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If it does yield, the strangers are going to swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. They're swallowed up by sin, and they're militarily going to be swallowed up soon. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. They are gone to Assyria, the wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim has hired lovers. Ephraim has hired lovers means Ephraim has hired priests of idols. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now I will gather those nations, and they're going to attack anyway. You remember in your reading how not only kings of Israel, but kings of Judah in particular, would send up to Assyria money. They would also send money to Egypt, ask Egypt to come help them. They'd ask other nations, they'd hire other nations for defense. Let's have a defense treaty, and you can be number one, we'll be number two. So even though they've hired among the nations, I'm going to gather those nations against Israel. You can't trust those guys. And they shall sorrow a little for the bird king of princes. Because Ephraim has made many altars to sin. Okay, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins, and they shall return to Egypt. It won't do them any good, but they'll give it a shot. For Israel has forgotten his Maker and buildeth temples. God was not interested in them building temples, was he? Now, don't you know they had dedication ceremonies for those temples? They probably had took little children and cut their throats and offered them on the altars. They went all out. They would have offered animal sacrifices. They would have spent fortunes on these temples. Thousands of people involved in the process. Tens of thousands. Hundreds of thousands. All over the country. I think as Micah said, the altars in Israel were so many that it's like clumps of dirt in a plowed field. They were everywhere. And the temples especially would have taken a lot of time and money and effort. So people were putting their hearts and their goods on the line here. This was a big deal. God hated every bit of it. But I bet it was pretty. And I bet the incense smelled nice. And I bet the robes were delicately woven with purple and red and yellow. I bet the animals that were sacrificed were valuable. God hated every bit of it.
Stunk in his mind.
Awful. And they think what they call, well, they call it building, it is Christian church. Church is a Christian church. And they think doing that's a holy thing. God hates it. He abhors it. The stained glass is an abomination to him. The beautiful music, it's like scratching fingernails across a blackboard. The prayers, the thanksgiving to God for the building of a new building, a new sin, a new place to sin against Christ. Come to Bethel and transgress. Come to Gilgal and see the new building. God is not impressed with us. The cathedrals of Europe that took literally hundreds of years to build, he despises.
What about Vatican City? Look how long it took to build that.
The richest square mile on the planet.
Yeah.
The wealth of the Vatican is immeasurable. Works of art, gold, paintings, historical documents. It's priceless, beyond price on earth. And it's going to burn up because it's rebellion against God.
It's just trash against God.
Any of you interested in ever seeing the Vatican's, just the artwork? I've got a book about that thick upstairs if you want to look at it. It's incredible. It's so difficult for people to believe it because it's so pretty.
Yeah.
But it can't compare to what God's got for us.
No,
and it can't compare to a soul being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's real beauty.
Amen.
That's what the Bible calls the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
Amen. They don't even know what a pretty temple looks like.
No.
Hallelujah. And God has rescued us from it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Amen. Given us a resting place. And wisdom. To know better. Now that's really being rich.
Yeah.
But he hasn't done it just for us. Hey, we're expected to do something with it. Buildeth, he has forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. Somehow or another, that always goes along together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Forget the true God and build a temple. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You have to forget God to carry out a Christian communion service.
Amen.
You have to forget God to baptize somebody with water.
Yes.
You have to forget God to teach a false doctrine.
Yeah.
We don't give Sunday school pens around here. Because if you show up with your whole heart, you get your reward.
Amen.
They don't have to bribe you to try to show up. And I don't ask you to cook for me because I'm feeding you. Rejoice not, O Israel. They were rejoicing at their beautiful temples. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for you have gone a-whoring from thy God and hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. That's tithes and offerings. That's money. That's presents. That's bribes. That's salaries. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them. I'm not going to let them have enough for you. And new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land. But Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to Jehovah, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted. For their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of Jehovah. What are you going to do in the solemn day, in the day of the feast of the Lord? What are you going to do when God sends His animals to feast on you? His birds of prey, His jackals. What are you going to do when the Lord's feast comes? You know what that God called that? Has called days like destructive days when dead bodies are lying everywhere and the animals come and eat them. He's called them His feast. He calls it that in Revelation. Start summoning the animals of prey before the battle and says, come to the feast that the Lord has prepared for you. When you feast on Jesus. Verse 7, the days of visitation are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man up here is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred from God to you and yours for his ways. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God. For example, Joshua. He was with God. He was from Ephraim. But now, the prophet is a trap, the snare of a fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah, as a geography instead of a story. What happened in Gibeah? Molestation of the Levite's wife. Wasn't that it? After they wanted him instead. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, that perverse spirit had sprung up again in Israel in the northern kingdom. The whole thing. Huh?
You travel far to get your thing to be saved.
Yeah. Went to Gibeah instead of a foreign city because they were Jews. And when they got there, they were like Sodom and Gomorrah. They wanted him. Isn't it something that filthy, wretched spirit gets so popular where it becomes public policy, government policy. And it's nothing new. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. That's geography, the wilderness that they traveled. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. I was happy with you, but they went to Baal Peor, another place of geography. Well, they intermarried with the Moabites, started sacrificing to their gods, and separated themselves unto that disgrace, that child-killing god. And their abominations were according as they loved. So they want to get rid of their children to other gods? I think I'll take a few. Verse 12, though they bring up their children, I will bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Woe to them when I leave them. My goodness. When I return to my place and just turn them over to what they are going down to toward. That didn't really frighten many people in Israel. If Jehovah left, they had so many others that they could worship, they weren't really concerned about it. Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus leaves, that's it. He is the hope of mankind.
Amen.
Verse 15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there I hated them. When did God hate Israel in Gilgal? He's talking about a geography. He expects us to know the story.
When they made Saul king.
Well, they made Saul king there, but I don't see any reason.
Yeah, the transgression of Achan.
Yeah, that's where they were camped when Achan stole the goods from Jericho, and then God withdrew and let the little bitty people up at Bethel and Ai defeat them. Up here. That's when they first disobeyed God in Canaan's land. And God turned them over to a military defeat. God still remembered. That was a big thing. A big, big hurt for him. Verse 16, Ephraim. Oh, verse 15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them, for the wickedness of their doings. Because of what they have done, I will drive them out of my house. There are some things you just can't put up from your children. When they get old enough and they want to live a certain way, if you please God, you have to put some children out. Or displease God by having it in your house. Some things you do put up with and have patience with, and some things you don't. I will love them. Oh, this is awful. I will love them no more. What awful words.
God, how much time has this been, like from the time they went into Canaan's land to right now?
From the time they went into Canaan's land?
Yeah, like to Gilgal, like what he's talking about, that first instance till right now.
That's difficult to figure out because of the time of the judges. We don't know whether the judges live at the same time or stack them up. Moses was about 1300 B.C. This is going to be about... Well, David was right at 1000 B.C. 800, something like that. 800 B.C. God's patient.
Boy.
What God put up with. And what he's still putting up with. Oh, my. If any one of us had been God, this world had been gone a long time ago.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
His mercy endureth forever.
Praise God.
He's slow to wrath. And he pities us, David said, because he knows we're just made out of dirt.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't tell me God don't love dirt.
Not when he breathes life into it.
No, sir.
Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. And that's where the Jews were until 1948. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself, not to me. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased his altars. Look at this. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. God gave them lots of shade trees for a pleasant life. Well, they took the shade trees and made idols out of them.
Yeah.
The better the tree, the better the idol.
Yeah. No.
Can God trust you with a blessing? He couldn't trust them. Their heart is divided. What does that mean? It means that, yeah, they feared Jehovah some, and they feared Molech some, and they feared Chemosh some, and they feared Rimmon some, and they feared Beelzebub some, and they were all chopped up. And David, in his wisdom, prayed, God, unite my heart to fear your name.
Amen.
The love of God cast out all fear of everything except God. It unites the heart. Jesus feared God and told us to. But he didn't fear when Satan started getting close to him. He said, Satan's coming now in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, the prince of this world is coming, but he didn't have anything in me. Glory to God. My, their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should what good is a king doing to us? That's what they're going to say. They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springs up as hemlock. That's poison, deadly poison. What they consider to be justice is killing every good thing in the people there, putting their spirits to death. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethel, the house of idols, Beth Aven. For the people there shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof, that rejoiced on it for the glory thereof, because the glory is departed. Now, if you ever wonder whatever happened to the golden calf at Bethel, this next verse tells us what happened to it. It shall be carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own doctrine. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Aven, that's Bethel. High places also of Aven, Beth Aven, the sin of Israel, the sin of Jeroboam shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. They stood up against God and his army. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It didn't get rid of them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them. Nobody on earth knows what this last part means. Well, they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loves to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, and Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his claws. He's going to put a yoke on them and make them do some work. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in thy way instead of God's way, in the multitude of thy mighty men, trusting in numbers, therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as the Assyrian king Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. Satan still hates Israel because Jesus came through them. There were enough righteous people to keep the line alive and pure until Jesus got there and fulfilled prophecy. He still hates them. The hatred of these nations of Israel at that time was an expression of the hatred of Satan toward God. What was that story you told about watching, was it 60 Minutes program, news program, about an Arab man and the great, he was in prison, I think, they called him. The great, the deep pleasure that he had taken in murdering some children, Israeli children, and forcing his children, and forcing a man to watch.
A man's three or four children, just cut them all to pieces, and the man's wife, in front of him before he killed him. And he said, I love it. He said, I will do it again. They said, even if it meant being in here the rest of your life, he said, to see him suffer pain like that, you know, maliciously, just ripping them all to pieces before they killed him.
Took great pleasure forcing a father watch that before they killed him. That kind of hatred only comes about when religion is involved. That kind of hatred only comes out of the heart when you are persuaded that God is also taking pleasure in what you're doing, and there'll be a great reward for it. There's no hatred like religious hatred. No hatred like that God can inspire for evil. And Satan's invitation of it is to hate those who do love God. It is a warfare. That kind of hatred you see against Israel all the way through. Israel kept trying to be friendly with the world, and God was saying, they hate you. They hate you. I love you. They hate you. They like your money. They like your land. They like you being increasing their glory. I love you. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. They trusted in their numbers, in their alliances, their foreign alliances. Oh, the mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, that's his prophets. You might say, as I called them. So they went from them. They sacrificed unto Baal and different Baals and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to walk. I held his little hand and let him, helped his stumbling feet go. I taught them everything they know. Isaiah said that God taught men to fish. He taught them to sow seed and get crops from them. He taught men how to survive on this cursed world. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I was the one that healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws so that they could eat their meal. God loved his people. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king because they refused to repent. Verse 7, and my people... Oh, let's read 6. The sword shall abide on his cities and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own doctrines. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Now they call to the Most High, but nobody obeys him. They use his name to attract people, those people that still want to worship him. But nobody exalts him, not indeed. How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? His heart's breaking.
Yeah, it's like he's bound to do what he's fixing to do, but he still doesn't want to do it.
You know what Elijah said last night after the meeting, sitting up in the living room? It was so good. Talking about Hosea. Elijah told Sandy and me, he said, it sounds like God was trying to talk himself into giving Israel up. And that's just about what the feeling you get. He knows he's going to do it. But he hates it with everything in him. How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? Now, Admah and Zeboim are two cities that were destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah at the same time in the same way. How am I going to make you like Admah and set you as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. You ever feel like your heart was just twisting? My repentings are kindled together. He's repented from doing this so many times. There's no break between them now. It's just a constant thing. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God, not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. I will not enter into the city. Sounds as if he's promising them, he's talking about the remnant that he's promising not to destroy anymore. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies in every direction, in the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah at this time still has Jerusalem in the temple. Jerusalem yet ruleth with God and was faithful with the saints. Ephraim feeds on the wind. They spoke a lot of hot air and Ephraim ate it. That's why they got so weak. Ephraim feedeth on that doctrine and followeth after the east wind. You know what's so bad about the east wind in Israel? Well, there's nothing but desert out there to the east. That's Saudi Arabia, Arabian desert. After you leave Gilead, the forest land, and go this way, pretty dry, sandy. An east wind comes with no water, dries everything up. And that's the kind of doctrines they were eating up. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians. And oil is carried into Egypt. And then Hosea says, and by the way, the Lord also has a controversy with Judah. And will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will he recompense him. Jacob took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. He had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and he made supplication unto God, unto the angel, and found God in Bethel. And there he spoke with us. Isn't this marvelous? Isn't this wonderful? He is not backing off one bit from the truth. He is not ashamed of the fact that God was in Bethel when Jacob arrived there. That's a good thing. That took a lot of courage. I have seen this repeatedly. I can't remember now about myself. I probably was there for a while myself, unless I paid close attention to what I was taught. But I've seen this over the years when people find out that water baptism is no longer part of the work of Christ, they turn against it. Well, Peter did baptize some people in water in John's baptismal form. Paul did too. The Ephesian disciples, he baptized with water. It doesn't use the word water there. It says he baptized them in the name of Jesus. And then laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. Talk to the young man this week. He was saying the same thing. And we don't need to do that. In order to teach the truth, we don't have to be blind to what really happened sometime in the past. There was a time when baptism after John's baptism in water was a holy thing. Thank God for that. That's part of the process that got us here. We don't have to be ashamed of that. Let me show you something. This is God. This is the Lord speaking to you. Jeremiah 23.
That's an underlying thing, a disrespect to the law.
Yes, it does.
Even though you know it's not like that anymore, it lets some kind of a bird or something down there that just gives you a whole thing against the law.
Gives you a bad attitude towards some people.
They'll know it's there. They'll know it's there if you try to deny it. And then they have reason for holding their doctrine.
You want to acknowledge every good thing. It doesn't matter whether it's a sinner saying it or not. If it's good, it's good. Every right thing is right. Whoever says it. And every wrong thing is wrong, whoever does it. You don't have to blind your eyes and say, oh, he's a brother, I can't see that. He's right anyway. You don't have to play games like that. Whatever is right is right. Whatever is wrong is wrong. Just let it be that way. It's all going to come out on God's side after a while anyway. Chapter 23 in Jeremiah.
Verse
28. Well, let's start in 26. You see, give you kind of a background here. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal? Now, Jeremiah came maybe 100 years later or more. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? In other words, if you got around a group of people and you had 15 liars there who made up an imaginary thing and pretend and really convinced themselves God had given them a dream and they told it and it was all sickening, you knew it was wrong, and you had a real dream from God, God said, tell my dream. It can't compare to that stuff. Amen. The wheat's going to come up. It's going to bear fruit. It's going to accomplish what I gave it to you for. Don't back off what you have from God just because so many out there are wrong. Go ahead and be right. Have courage. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Amen. So it doesn't matter how many false things are out there. If you've got something that's from God, there is no comparison. No comparison. Go ahead and rejoice in it. I love to hear it when God tells somebody. I still remember, Sister Willie, that night you came to, it was over in the other place, Elderwood Lane, where you testified about you were going to bed one night or something and God spoke to you. That, what God said to you blessed me so deeply. I can't even remember what it was now. Don't be frightened to be different. But there was something else too. There was something else before that that God told you on another occasion. Don't be, huh? Amen. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be different. Dare to be different. And if you have something real from God, you already are different. Go ahead and be that way. Amen. Where are we? Hosea 11, 12. Yeah, Hosea is mentioning Bethel, God being there talking to Jacob. Well, that's the kind of preaching that the false teachers in Israel would have enjoyed. See, God was in Bethel. And Hosea is saying, yeah, God was. Isn't that great? Agree with your adversary quickly. Whatever is true is true. The issue was, is God still in Bethel? Where is he now? I'd rather be where he is than where he was. Even the God, even the Jehovah, the God of armies. Jehovah is his memorial. That's his real name. Therefore turn thou to God. Keep mercy and justice and wait on God continually. Well, they didn't do it. Israel was a merchant. Balances of deceit are in his hand. He loves to cheat people, to oppress the poor. But what does Ephraim say about it? He said, I am rich. I found me out substance. And nothing I do with anybody be able to convict me. I don't find any sin here. Oh, and I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the day of the sun. Is this love beyond reasoning or what? It seems like something's left out. It skips to love so fast. Those guys are cheaters, liars. They oppress the poor. They brag about it, think nothing's wrong. Boy, I'm going to bless them.
God. I'm thinking, God help me.
Huh?
I'm thinking, God
help me too, Wendell. Oh. I have also spoken by my prophets and have multiplied visions and have used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Now, that's love too. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars. Here, there's so many. They're like heaps in the furrows of the field. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria. And Israel served for a wife. And for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore, shall God leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. When Ephraim was humble, when he spoke trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and their idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. That was part of the ritual. I don't know if it still is or not. Mark, maybe you might be able to help me out here. But it was a long-standing, I'm talking about centuries, tradition that anyone that had an audience with the Pope had to kiss his right big toe. What? His toe. Is that still in effect? Do you know? Have you heard anything about it? You kiss the Pope's toe when you went to, well, same mentality. Kissed the golden calf. They might have had to replace a toe or two on him after a century or so. You never know. It is weird, but it's real.
Yes, it is.
It's real. How do you know if that was still a tradition or not? Your parents hadn't said anything about it. Of course, they hadn't had an audience with the Pope either, had they? But I don't know if that still goes on or not. But I know it did a long time.
They kissed the cross. All times the athletes do that one.
Oh, yeah. Kissed the cross. Kissed the thing that people used to kill Jesus. That's the spirit of man. That's why Jesus said they will kill you thinking to do God a service, the God of that cross. And do Him service. Kiss that cross. The Bible says kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Now I'll kiss Jesus' big toe if you'll let me. It'd be an honor.
You let you get that humble?
Yes, if He will allow it. Glory to God. No, my son. Help us, God, get to you. Amen. What verse are we on? What chapter? 13. Therefore, now before we read verse 3, let's go back to chapter 6, verse 4. I told you you'd see this again. I think it's 6:4. Chapter 6, verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Now let's look at 13:3. Therefore they shall be as a morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away. If you're only good, if your goodness only lasts a few minutes, you're only going to last a few minutes. They became like what they worshipped. As the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the days of the land of Egypt. I'm yours. You don't know it, but I am. And thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior besides me. They all hate you. They're all no good for you. I'm the only one that can help you. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pastures, so were they filled. I blessed them to the full. They were filled and their heart was exalted. That's why they forgot me. I blessed them too much. God, help us be able to be blessed. Therefore, I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard, by the way, will I observe. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps and will rend the call of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Oh, Israel, you have destroyed yourself, but in me is your help. I will be your king. Yes. Let me do it. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges, of whom thou saidest, give me a king and princes. I gave you a king in my anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son. But look at verse 14. He goes right back to it. I'm going to ransom them from the power of the grave. He's going to ransom those who trusted him, the few in Israel who didn't kiss the calf. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. I'm not going to repent from doing that. Now, Hosea did not prophesy in chapters. This book is a collection of his prophecies that span the years from Uzziah through Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So sometimes maybe the reason they don't seem to go along is because they came from 10 years apart. He didn't prophesy a book straight through or a chapter straight through. They're pieces. But it just gives us a glimpse of some of the things Hosea said over 50 years or whatever. Some of the things God felt. It just kind of opens the door to see who God really is. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The dry wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for you have fallen by your sin, by your iniquity. Take with you words and turn to Jehovah and say to him, take away all our sin. Praise God, what an offer! How much evil they had done, and he's saying, just take and don't drag cattle behind you to sacrifice them. Take words with you and go talk it over with Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus. It makes it right. Love will cover a multitude of sin. God can make it right. He's saying, let me be king. Take with you words and talk to Jehovah. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. It's a good thing to render calves of your lips. That's praising God and honoring Him, confessing His goodness and our need. That's the kind of sacrifice that pleases God. Assyria is not going to save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. Go tell the Lord that in Him you know the fatherless find mercy. And this is, if they did, this is their response, and it's a prophecy about Jesus. I will heal their backsliding. Praise God! He'll make their feet like hinds' feet. Instead of sliding around, slip sliding around, they'll be walking up on cliffs without any fear. Make my feet like hinds' feet and set me in my high places. Amen. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. Here's Jesus. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. Praise God. And then the Son talks and says, from me is your fruit found. Isn't that what Jesus said? I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. Well, here he is talking. From me you get your fruit. Glory to God. My, my. Who is wise? God asks this now because it's a prophecy and he knows nobody can understand it at the time. Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Oh, Hosea didn't understand that was about Jesus. He didn't know what he was saying. Yeah. But we know. Praise God. We know he was talking about Jesus. Isn't that great? Don't take it for granted. Praise God. Here we are. We didn't know. I didn't know. But I know now. Praise God. And I thank God for it. Thank you, God, for letting us know who you were talking about. Letting us feel what you were talking about. and have what you're talking about. Praise God. Help our hearts, God, stay humble so that we can stand to be blessed, so that we can endure your blessing unto the end. Praise God. So we can take it in, oh God, and not forget you. We want to remember you, Lord, in all our works. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Praise His holy name. Praise God. Amen. You can't really get what you will need to out of Hosea without knowing the truth about when a person is born again. It's the truth in the New Testament that reveals the old, the truth that's hidden in the old. Hosea 6.
Verse 2.
Was that a
prophecy of Jesus' resurrection?
I think so.
And talk back for 3 days and then come to us as the rain?
Yeah, I think that's a prophecy of Jesus' resurrection. I didn't stop mentioning it while we were going through it. It's what it sounds like to me. In a sense, when he was raised from the dead, we went with him. At least in his heart. And some of the graves opened up when Jesus came up out of the ground. After 3 days, some of the dead saints were raised up with him. And who walked in Jerusalem were seen by people. Amen. That's no telling. There's so many stories we don't know about, Wendell. Promises given, works of God. Some of those old dead saints might have received a promise from God. You're going to see him. And they died before he got there, so he raised them up. You just don't know. This book is just like the prophecies of Hosea. This is 7 chapters out of 50 years. The whole Bible. John 21 says, if all the things Jesus did, just Jesus, those 3 years, the world wouldn't contain the books. We don't know but just that much of all that God said or did. But we have enough to let us know He's still saying and doing.
Amen.
That's what we want to get in touch with. What's He saying now? What's He doing now?
I have poured my heart out in this song, sharing feelings from inside, pouring blessings out the windows open wide. Put it in your heart, you want to know the truth. Put it in your heart. You want me as your friend. I put it in your heart. To live with no excuse. Right from the start. I put it in your heart. To hold on till the end. Every day's another chance. Pass the test, whatever the circumstance. You are stronger than you know. All you have to do is let your feelings show. Put it in your heart. You your brothers do. Put it in your heart. Love me and no one else. Right from the start. Put it in your heart. Wanna be made new.
Every day's a love.